Hello, everyone. I'm so excited who I have the opportunity to interview today. Someone I respect highly, someone that has been working online since the early days of the Internet. In fact, he started his first website in 1996 when the Internet was just beginning. Someone who has helped thousands of entrepreneurs earn more, work less, and enjoy life without compromising their values through his site at mymarketingcoach.com. He went from delivering pizzas at Little Caesars for $8 an hour to making a small fortune online in a matter of months. The person I'm about to interview, I met in Las Vegas in 2007 while attending a three-day internet marketing seminar. As many people know, as an entrepreneur, it's really easy to feel alone. During this time, I felt like I had no one to turn to for solid advice to help me grow my internet business. I was searching for truth, and yet in a sea of many snake oil salesmen promising instant riches on the internet and not delivering any value to back up their claims, I had become very, very discouraged that no authentic person was out there to help me. Yet, I kept faith that one day I would meet that one person that would change my life, one that was reliable, honest, and trustworthy, who had, quote, been there, done that, and could guide me in a better direction on my path to success. And as the saying goes, ask and you shall receive. On that fateful day, while attending the seminar in Vegas, I had been granted what I was looking for. This person I crossed paths with, who has helped change my life for the better, has been my mentor of almost 3 years now, Mr. Terry Dean. He was and still is a godsend to me. So the first question that I have for you is if you could just tell us a little bit about how you started online in 1996.
Well, when I first got started online, it was after trying a bunch of different business opportunities. I had tried network marketing. I had tried direct sales. I had tried door-to-door sales. I had tried direct mail. I had tried pretty much everything you could imagine to get started and earn income, because at that point in time, as you had mentioned, I had worked at Little Caesars for $8 an hour. I had worked a bunch of other little dead-end jobs, such as selling satellite dishes door-to-door, even delivering the newspaper for the Palladium Item in Richmond, Indiana, where we lived at the time. And I had tried all these different things, and nothing ever seemed to work. But I heard, way back in 1996, there wasn't a lot of talk about the Internet, but I heard a few stories of people who were succeeding online. And so once I started hearing some of those stories, I made the commitment, went to one of my credit cards, which we still hadn't charged up, and went to Best Buy and bought an old Pentium 75, which basically is a dinosaur at this point in time. I bought that old computer and started teaching myself the computer and picked up licenses to several different DVDs, especially like self-help videos like the Mark Victor Hansen, Bill Myers type of DVDs, and started selling those online. And basically by trial and error, going to message boards, putting up little ads, getting people to email me, send them, you know, a free report, and then send them information about the products that I was selling. I started making sales, and pretty much within the first month, I was earning enough to replace my income, which wasn't, you know, an incredible income, but it was enough to make a living at that point, and just started growing from there. So that's basically my start in small beginnings. And the thing that I really like to tell people from this is when you can see the background where I came from, I really didn't have any advantage here. I didn't have any experience with computers or anything of that nature. And I had to really teach myself a lot of these techniques because there was nobody teaching what to do online. So everything I've done, I've learned by trial and error and finding out what works and what doesn't. And that has served me well all the way through the Internet in proving what is true and what's not. Everything has to be put to the test. And I've built basically from nothing to this business that I've now been doing for 14 years. And it's been a fun ride all the way.
Well, it's so inspiring, and your story is so inspiring to me. One of the things that greatly interests me, as well as some of the listeners probably be interested in, is transformation. And I'm wondering, what was your first big breakthrough and tipping point in your business?
Well, the big breakthrough for me in my business was really once I realized where my income was coming from. And what I mean by that is the first couple of months online, I did okay. I was earning a full-time income, and as I said, I was making a living online. But I really had my breakthrough and the tipping point from my business when I realized that it was the email list that I was building that was producing the majority of my income. And what I mean by that is even in those early days, I'd have, for example, like 3,000 people on the list, and I looked back and I noticed that that month that I had 3,000 people on the list, I was able to generate $3,000 out of it. I built it up to 7,000 people, and I generated like 7,100 or something that month. It was very, very close to the number of subscribers. Pretty much I was making like a dollar per subscriber per month from the list, you know, give or take just a little bit, and it was run off of that. And once I realized that, it gave me that incentive to start pushing and building the list, because that's where my money was coming from. And I started building up that list. That led to further opportunities in the future. For example, once people heard what I was doing online, they asked me to teach them to do the same thing. And one of the first few conferences I spoke to, they asked me to demonstrate the power of basically the email list. And in one of those conferences, over just a weekend, I produced over $96,000 in sales from sending out an email just to my own list with no other joint venture partners. And so the real breakthrough and tipping point for me in the business was realizing the importance of the emails, being consistent in sending out emails, being consistent in growing that email list, and really having a personal style of emailing with my list and getting to know each other. I don't use a style of writing like you would use in college or in a large corporation. I use a very personal, very informal style, just like you and I were sitting across the table chatting, and that really has been the power behind my business all the way back from then till today.
Yeah, I know one of the things that you say to me over and over is it's not about the list, it's the relationship with the list. Is an email list still as effective today with all the social media sources we have now?
It is still just as effective. Now, there's been times where you can almost say it's ebbed and flowed. There's been times where it was difficult to get emails out, and then it got easier, and they got more difficult. So there's times where that, you know, income level per subscriber has changed to different levels. Okay, so it wasn't always a dollar per month for me. So it's ebbed and flowed. Sometimes I've done more than that. Sometimes I've done less than that. So that's not what's important, because that matters a lot by what market you're in. I have some clients who have big lists that only do like 5-10 cents. Per subscriber per month, and I have other ones who are kind of like $8-9 on average that they're earning per month in a very targeted type market. But so the actual role is email still is the driver in my business, and it's a driver of the clients that I work with. I'd say for them, probably about 75% of them, maybe a little bit more than that, that's the real driver in their business also, is that email marketing. And for me, all the social media that everyone really gets excited about and likes to talk about for business, remember, it wasn't created for us as business people. Social media is created for basically for everyone else to congregate, to be social with each other, to discuss, and even to, from the marketing standpoint, even to share some of our message for our customers to share that message with each other. So one of the best applications of social media isn't for us to directly think about promoting there, but more so to think about us providing content, giving value, and giving tools to our customers to contact others through social media. And I always like to give this standard for it. Social media is one of the ways that we reach out in the online community. So just think of the business online, it's an online community, okay? It's a community of people speaking with each other and talking with each other and socializing with each other. That's exactly what it is. But we're not going to jump in there and be the big advertisers all the time. So what I like to do is go out there and participate in the conversations going on social media, find if there's ways that I can help people, find if there's ways that I can answer people's questions that they're answering. And whenever I'm doing so, everything, all my profiles lead back to my website. I'll often post links about something free that I gave, for example, on my blog, some content from my blog, or I'll post something free, like a free report that I'm giving to others. And what I'm doing with those is I'm, again, leading people back to my website. And then what is the focus of my website first? It's always to get people on the email list. So in my business strategy, social media really is a tool that I get to reach out and bring in more free subscribers, because that's the first place most of my customers come from, is I first get them onto the list. So I reach out, and I don't want to leave and basically produce all my content on social media. I want to just reach out, touch people, bring them back, get them onto the list, and continue the relationship building process, because no matter what anybody said, I found social media to be not really a great way to build a relationship. I can build the relationship much better with people once I pull them back to my site and get them on the list. I can build a relationship much stronger than I can through just social media.
I definitely agree to that. If a beginner was to get started today, what basic course would you put him or her on?
Well, the basic course that I put beginners on today who are just getting started is I put them on a course to first find something that they're really interested in. A lot of times people will say find your passion, and sometimes I'll call it finding the intersection of passion and profits, which means find something that we know will be profitable online because there's already people selling into that market, and also find something that you can be passionate about, that you can have fun doing. But even more important than passion in many cases is a very healthy curiosity about the subject. And the reason I say that is no matter what business you do online, you're going to have to produce some sort of content for that market. And I say some sort of content because it doesn't matter what subject you're doing, really the online exchange is content. That's what social media is after. They're after content. That's what the search engines are after. They're after content. So we might post articles, or we might post blog posts, or we might produce some videos. No matter what we do to really generate traffic and build our customer relationship, there has to be some content involved with it, which means you have to have a healthy curiosity for the subject. And what that means is you're continually learning more about the subject that you can share with others. You'll go out, and even if you weren't the expert on a subject, you can go out and interview others on the subject. And again, a good interview is somebody who is curious on the subject. They're really curious not just for their own benefit, but for their customers' and subscribers' benefit. So you've got to have that issue first. So you need to find a market that you can be passionate about, that you have a curiosity for, and that can also be profitable and for profits. I simply look and I find, make sure that other people are already successfully selling in that market. A quick tip there is I used to get excited when I'd go over to like Google AdWords and I wouldn't see any ads under a keyword phrase. I tried that twice. I tried to go in and sell businesses in those phrases that I thought were wide open markets. And you know what happened? I found out real quickly why there were no ads in that market. It's because I couldn't sell anything to anybody in those markets. And that's why nobody was running ads effectively. So now I like to go to a market that I find a lot of ads running, especially if I can find a lot of ads running where the websites, after I visit them, don't look very interesting. They're not very good for sales copy. The websites don't have a very good design. When I can find people who are profitable and do a bad job, that's the kind of market I want to go to. And then what I tell people to do is once you've found a market, one of the first things I tell them to do is to set up like a blog site, such as with WordPress, or we call WordPress a content management system. It's a CMS. And what that means is that basically once you get it installed and running, it's very easy to post additional content. It's very easy to post changes to the site. And so I tell people that the very first thing that they start doing is we're going to find the market. That's the first thing. The second thing is we'll set up a WordPress site. And then the third aspect is we'll start producing some type of content for the site specifically designed based on what people are looking for in the search engines. And here's a quick tool for everybody to use, a nice free tool from Google, is go to google.com, search for the Google Keyword Tool. The Google Keyword Tool, and it'll come up number one in Google for the actual tool. And you can click on it, and you can go, and you can do searches on any keyword phrases, and Google will tell you how many people are searching for that phrase this month. And I'll go in there, and I tell people, once they first get the site up, go to that tool and come up with like 50 to 100 phrases. We call them longer tail phrases because most of the time we find it real difficult to get phrases that only have one or two keywords in them. But if you can find keyword phrases that have like three or four words in them or even more than that, you're going to find them much easier to rank on the search engine. And so come up with like 50 to 100 of those phrases on your subject and basically make yourself a content calendar. And you're going to produce little pieces of content about all these different subjects. And it doesn't matter whether it's written content, whether it's video content, whether it's audio content. That's not what's really important here. But it's the importance is that you're going to produce content on the subject and you're going to start building it into your site. And I really give the assignment that I want them to produce at least one article every single day on one of those subjects for their new site to really start getting moved.
Now, you mentioned that one of the best ways for a person starting out to get a website up quickly is through a blog. Do you recommend any other tools to be able to set up a website easily for beginners?
For most people, I really like them to get used to WordPress and really using WordPress like for the blogging software. Because the nice thing with WordPress is there are themes out, and themes is basically just a term we use inside of WordPress That means the design of the site. There are themes out there, both free and paid, that can pretty much design your site like anything you want. And a lot of people now use those themes even to produce little pages, like if they just wanted an opt-in page, a little page that's just there designed for people to subscribe. You can build those inside of WordPress also. If you want to build, for example, a long page that's just there for selling, just a sales page, there's those types of themes that you can install in WordPress also. So for most people, I'm just telling them to go out and get the free WordPress software, install the free WordPress software, and start building the site off of that. And here's the interesting thing. You don't want to have anything to do with technical parts at all. With WordPress, you can hire a designer to come in and design your whole site, put up your site in WordPress, get everything set up and running for you, and then it's still very easy for you to go in and manage your site from then on, and you're not basically held hostage by that designer to get any changes you want made. So really, for most people, I'm just telling them to use WordPress directly. When I first started online, I had to learn HTML, which is the coding language for websites, and I had to use a lot of web design programs, so I know how to use a lot of different programs like Dreamweaver and Front Page that I had to use in the past. But even for my sites, I'm leaning more and more towards the majority of my sites being in WordPress. And if I was starting today, I would have every site done in WordPress.
Interesting. Now, you're also mentioning about content and how important content is for online businesses. Talk a little bit more about the importance of content, and could you share maybe some quick tips for coming up with that content?
Content really is, again, the currency of the web. So we produce content, because most people who come online, you even think of this, even the people who have the intention in their mind of searching and buying a product, they still are coming from the angle that they want to get some content on the subject. For example, if they start searching for, we'll say, golf clubs, a lot of times what they'll actually search for is terms like golf club reviews, or they'll pick specific types of golf clubs and they'll be searching for reviews on those. They want to get information to help them make a better buying decision. That's what they're searching for. So people primarily come online first to get information on the subject and to use the internet for that purpose. And so we use information as our currency to get people's attention, to bring them towards our website, and we continue to use it to build a relationship with it. Now, here's the approach that I use most commonly, and that is, I'll say my main focus on my website is to get people on the list. So that's where we focus first, is to get people on the list. But I use a lot of tools to get them on the list. And one of those tools is my blog also, which is the center, the home base of my business, is at the blog. And what I'll do is this. I'll produce a piece of content. And with me, here's how I think of producing content for my list. I call it the three E's. Okay? The three E's are to entertain, to educate, and to earn. So when I write an email to my list, I want to do all three of those whenever possible. That is entertain, educate, and earn. Now, every email I write doesn't have all three of those in it, but the majority of them do. And what I mean by that, the first one is to entertain. People always say, well, you know, the content, 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 so we got to educate all our prospects. But I want you to take a look at how the world works. Who earns more in the world, educators or entertainers? That's a pretty simple answer there, isn't it? We know that the entertainers earn more than the educators.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. So if we want to earn more in our business, that means we're going to have to bring in some aspect of entertainment. And there's an old statement that's been said by marketing experts in the past, and that is people can love you, they can hate you, but you never want them to be bored of you.
No, and I love that one.
That is definitely true. That you don't want them to be bored. So the first aspect to send out emails is I want to entertain them. And since I'm not a stand-up comedian, I don't like to get up and tell jokes, I use stories to entertain people. Those stories could be a story that happened in my own personal life. It can be a story of a movie that I just watched. I tell about some movie that I watched and how that has a lesson in it. It could be a story about some question that someone asked me. So, hey, Jimmy, send me an email asking this question, and put the question and then start going through to the answer. That's my little story that I am leading in there. It could even be up a fictional story that I talk about. Here's a funny one. One of the stories I talked about early on in my business to illustrate what I call the internet lifestyle, where you can live anywhere you want when you're working online, was a story about how I live out in the country totally true. I lived out in the country. Moved a little bit closer to town, although I'm still in the country now in Florida. But I was out in the country where the nearest next-door neighbor was a cow. I had an email about the cow next door. The interesting thing was I spoke for at this event not too long ago, and the first thing that the event promoter asked me when I showed up and talked to him was, how is the cow doing next door? So he remembered an article that was probably 5, 6, 7 years old. He remembered the cow from the article. I'll bet you anything he didn't remember what the lesson of the article was. He probably didn't remember anything I taught him, anything else, but he remembered the cow. Okay, so he remembered the story. So in most of my emails, most of my blog posts, I try to work in some type of story into it. See, and I always say this, I always want to have either a story or an illustration, which might just be like a quick note or something else, and a comparison to it, or anything else that I can get for the story, and that's the first part. The second part is education, which we always call the moral of the story. Every children's program has a moral of the story, which if we took the cow story from me, the moral of the story was the fact that I can live out here in the country running my business. If I was in some type of corporation earning this kind of money, I'd have to be living in the big city. That's not my personality. I wouldn't have liked it. And so you can be wherever you want, and the internet allows you to have the lifestyle that you choose. That was the moral of that story, from the story of the cow. And then the third part is to earn something. I don't do it in every single email, but a majority of the emails and blog posts, I take that story, I do the moral of the story, and then usually I lead into some other type of product I'm selling or some other way that the person can get more information or more training on the subject or something I'm offering along those lines. So I basically take that three-step process. We entertain with the story, we educate, which is give the moral of the story, and then we lead it into some product or service that I'm offering. So that's where I earn the money from it. And that's my basic process in the writing the emails. And then when I write an email like that, I like to get multiple duty from that email, so I will take that email and I will also post it to the blog. The reason I post it on the blog is because I'm trying to get some search engine traffic from that blog post. Though often I'll then hire people from other countries a lot to be outsourced workers for my business, and I'll hire someone to make some modifications to the article, like changing the title and modifying the text of the article, like rewriting the article, and I'll have them submit that out to search engines and link back to the article on my site, because they'll submit out to the article directories and other sites like that that allow articles with links back to me, back to the article on my site, and that'll help me generate more traffic from those article directories. It'll help me generate traffic from the search engines because of those incoming links. And then usually on all these different social sites that we mentioned, sites like Twitter and Facebook, I have them set to automatically get posted to whenever I put a new article on my site. And so that's where I'm, again, putting out those little tiny pieces of content, little sound bites from the article out to all these different sites, and they link back to my blog also. People see those on the social sites. They come to the blog. At the blog, the first thing I do on the blog is try to get them on the list, and so you can see it's all a process going all the way through from that same content. And so what I do is, for me, I'm always coming up with ideas for little stories that I can tell. I have a little notebook that I carry around with me that I write all my little stories from, and everything is fuel for a story. As I mentioned, stories of things that happen to me, of things that I communicate with customers, of things that I see in movies or stories or anything that's going on. So everything is fuel for a story.
I know also one of my favorite topics is when you talk about your love and passion for your dogs, and I know a lot of the people that read your material enjoy that as well because they have a passion for dogs.
Yeah, that's the connection, but that's part of the connection that the person still, and see if people are getting in their stories, because that's exactly what we're talking about. I tell stories about my dogs. I don't have children, so my dogs are my children.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell stories about them. I'll shoot videos of them. So I have a blog about internet business, but I'll post videos about my dog, or I'll make a statement about my dog, or I'll do a lesson with my dog. I posted a video on my site called Dogs Can't Meow, okay? And it was a video of me meowing at my German Shepherd. And my German Shepherd basically whining and making noises because he didn't understand what to do, and it looked like he was actually trying, okay? And so that's a little video. Now, that doesn't make any sense at all in the internet business blog, but that's a story. That's something to have interest. It was only like 30 seconds or so for the video. But what was the moral of the story? The moral of the story, which I put in the text part of the post, was the fact that in the internet business world, there is a bunch of big companies who have all these coaches and mentors that they hired. So we're talking employees of the big company who they have as coaches and mentors for entrepreneurs. They basically will charge you a high fee, and if you pay them the high fee, you can have one of these employees of the company mentor you on how to be an entrepreneur. Now, I use that story of me trying to teach my dog to meow and said that you can't. The dogs and cats are totally different. You can't teach the dog to meow, just like you can't teach these employees to be mentors and coaches for entrepreneurs, because employees and entrepreneurs have different personalities. So it's a comparison there. You can see that's the moral of the story. So how do I earn from that? Basically, I had a link there then to my coaching program, because I'm not one of those coaches who's an employee for this business. So you can see that's the story, then the moral of the story, then the earning part of the story.
I like it. The three E's.
The three E's.
So we've discussed how to get a website up quickly and how to produce content for that. What about links? Do you have a systematic plan for generating links to your sites?
I most definitely do. I have a lot of systems I use for generating links, and we don't have time to talk about all of them, but I will give this tip real quick. What I've learned to do in my business is I've learned to outsource a lot. Part of my internet lifestyle is I don't want to have any employees, so I don't have any direct employees. But I have a lot of outsourced workers who do projects for me. Many of them will even be in foreign countries like the Philippines. And what I'll do is once I learn to do something, one of the things I'm horrible at is routines. So like where I said submit out articles to articles directly, that's a routine that I most definitely wouldn't want to keep doing. So what I do is once I learn how to do it well, I'll put together a video showing how I do it, and I'll use that with any type of screen recording software. There's free software like Jing for the PCs. It's Camtasia Studio that you can buy that you can record screens with. On a Mac, it's ScreenFlow that you can use, and you can record screens. And I'll record me doing the process. Here's how I go out and I do it. And then once I record, I'll make a little checklist. Okay, step one, step two, step three. Here's how we do this process of building our links. And then I will hire someone to do it for me. And there's a lot of sites out there like Elance.com or Odesk.com. It's becoming one of my favorites over at Odesk.com. It's O-D-E-S-K.com. So that's one of my favorites now for hiring people. And I'll hire people to do this process for me. And I'll let them watch my videos and they'll see my checklist of exactly how to do it. Now, here's some of the processes I have them go through. One of those processes, as I produce each article for the blog, as I told you, I'll have people basically go in and make edits to the article, change the title of the article, and basically go through and make all these different changes to it. And then they'll go out and they'll submit it to article directories, and they'll link back to that article on my site. Because here's one mistake that people make when they're building links, is they build all the links just back to their main page of the domain. What I like to do when building links is I don't want all the links just coming to the main page of the site. I like to have links, the majority come to the main page of the site, but I also have links that go out to specific posts on my site. They're specifically targeted to go to those posts. I have links basically coming into all these different posts. So it's not just the front page of my site that ranks, it's all these other little parts of my site that are ranking also, because here's the term. A lot of people think, you know, they get excited when they see them rank for some big term. I rank for some pretty heavy terms on my site. Like my site ranks on the front page of Google for the term internet business. Okay, so I have a front page ranking. But I generate a lot more visitors and traffic from all those long tail terms that I told you about, from all the articles on my site, than I ever will just from that big term internet business on my site. So I generate a lot more traffic from a whole huge volume of keywords. Last time I checked, there were several thousand keywords that were generating visitors to my site. So it's a big volume. So that's one of the first steps I have to generate links, is we do a lot of article marketing. I'll have people go, I'll write a quick press release. I did it at first, did the same process. I wrote several of them. Then I did a video to teach other people how to do it for me. And I have workers who will go out and they'll submit press releases to all the free press release sites. There's about 30 of them or so right now. And they'll submit those press releases out to the free press release sites with links back to my site. Here's a system that I started doing more recently, which is very effective also. And that is, I'll have, each time I'll produce an article on my site, is I'll go out and find other, basically other blogs that I read quite regularly. I'll go over to some of these other blogs. I'll post comments on what I would consider like some of their best posts, their most recent and best posts on the site. And again, as you can imagine, I only did this for a while before I outsourced it and had other people doing it. But I'll post comments that are adding to the conversation. So if the subject of this other site was about email marketing, it would be some little tip to add on about email marketing or some comment about the article. And then that article, that little link, that little comment, usually they'll have a space so that you can have a link back to your site. And so they'll put a little link in the web section and link back to my main site. Let's say that on average that we have them do 5. So they, for each article we post on our site, we go out and we post 5 comments on other blogs linking back to that article. I'll then have them submit my site plus all 5 of those other sites that we had, that had good content. That's why we posted the comment to them. They'll submit my site and all 5 other sites to some of the social bookmarking sites. So it's not just my site that's being submitted to the social bookmarking sites. It's multiple different sites that are submitted. But all these sites that we're submitting do eventually link back to my site because of that comment that we have on the post. There's a lot of different social bookmarking sites. A lot of times you have to find which ones are most effective for your business. Like for my business, StumbleUpon is a very good one for generating traffic. Dig is not, because Dig is a very technical audience, an audience that doesn't really like marketers or business people, so that's not one of the social sites that we participate in at all over at Dig. But StumbleUpon generates really good traffic. Bookmarking site Delicious generates very good traffic. And a lot of times we'll have like a little list, and it changes from time to time. But we use a software program. It's called SocialBot, which I think you could probably search for SocialBot, and you can find that software program. It's like $25 or $30. And I have each of my workers using that software program on their systems to help them submit quite quickly to basically several dozen social bookmarking sites using simple software like that. And so that's another way that we're generating links. And one of the things that people don't think of, but a big advantage of having your own WordPress blog site, is I can also use that site to create posts where I'm linking out to others. So I find other sites in my market who post good content, and I'll often put together like a list of some of my favorite articles about a specific subject over the last month from all these different sites. And each of those links I'll link over to these other blogs. And the benefit there is really reciprocity, which is I link out to them, it gives them the motivation to link back to my site, and since these are high-quality blogs in my market, they are considered by Google as authorities, and so links from them are worth quite a bit. And so we link out to those, and they'll often link back to some of my content. You have to give before you receive back. So one of the things you'll use on your site is some of your posts on your site will be links out to others. It might be a list of some of the top articles you like, or any other way that you can see that's good to connect the information to other people's sites. Be a giver, and you'll see that that will come back, and people will give back to you more links. There's a lot of ways that I generate links. The real systematic part there is what I said, from training the team members and then having that basic process where we submit the articles for each new article to the site, and then we go out and do those comments and social bookmarking for each new article. That's probably what you consider the biggest system part of the link building.
Excellent, excellent. I've noticed you've been discussing social media, which is very popular these days, and there is a lot of hype about it, and people do love it, and I'd like to further talk a little bit more about social media like Twitter and Facebook. How further do they fit into your marketing plan?
Well, the first thing I'll mention with these is I think people overhype them a lot more than they should from the business side of things, because again, I mentioned earlier on, the original purpose for them isn't for us marketers. Okay, we marketers, we can use them, but that's not the real purpose of them originally. It wasn't their intention. It was so everyone can have a social discussion and you can have the community. And more than anything else, I mean, some of the best uses of them is really providing awesome information and tools to your audience and allowing them to talk about you to others. And this is another reason today, I think social media is awesome from another standpoint, and that is it's helping to eliminate some of the scammers in business, because if you go out and your business goes out and scams a whole bunch of people, that's going to show up all over social media.
Oh, yeah, people will talk.
People will talk, and that'll be all over the place. So your time is running out eventually because of that. But for us as marketers, the way that we can use them is we can tap into them. Here's a real interesting use for it, is I'm finding that one of the best strategies to drive traffic to a site quickly, especially if you have a product to sell, is having people sign up as affiliates for you and promote the product for you, or basically to get joint venture partners who promote for you for a share of the profits they promote you to the list. Well, you're going to find that the people that you want to promote to you are often quite hard to reach. They're quite hard to reach. But social media has given everyone the feeling that they need to be more open to everyone, basically the whole discussion going on social media. So a very good use of social media is to subscribe to social media. Twitter's especially good for this. Facebook works also. But you go to social media, you get your account set up, and some of the first people you follow is go through and find all the top businesses in your specific market. Go through and find all the top business owners in your specific market. They might be the business owner, it might be some of the top employees, whoever it is managing in the place. And you follow those people. You start following them. And then pay special attention not to building a huge list quickly, a whole bunch of followers in yourself, but pay special attention to whatever they're posting on the site and start getting involved in the discussion on the site. And what I mean is if this person running this business in your market makes a post asking a question, well, if you know the answer to the question, you answer it. If it's a kind of a survey type question, ask everybody how everybody feels about something, you definitely answer it because you can answer that. And you start participating regularly by responding back to people, and what you're going to notice is that these people likely, as you participate, they start following you back. And having a couple of big names in your industry following you is worth more than having thousands of other people following you. And here's why. Is as you go through time and you basically respond back to them, you correspond back and forth, you're going to build a relationship with them. And you can take that relationship to the next step by eventually asking them if they want to take a look at the product that you're offering, or making another step, and that's emailing them. And your email is much more likely to get to them now because you've built a relationship with them. And another little strategy where that works is the different sites owners where they have blogs. If you get in there and start commenting on their blogs, they're going to get to know your name also, and it's going to give you that door in to talk to them again to start building that relationship and get the joint venture deal set up with them. So what I want you to think about here is the first point for social media is, again, it's social, and it's a great way to start building relationships with the leaders in your industry. Okay, so that's the first aspect that we can use of social media for, is building relationships with the leaders in your industry for whatever joint venture you might want to do. Let's say, for example, that for the first product you ever want to do, you want to do an interview information product. For example, you want to interview different experts and put together like a CD course or something of that nature. If you go through and you start corresponding with them like this on their blogs or on social media, and they get to know you, it's going to be so much easier to get that interview scheduled with them because they know your name, they know who you are. And so that's the first aspect. The second aspect for social media for us marketers is it's another way for us to keep putting out our content. As I mentioned earlier, as we put each new blog post up, each new story and piece of content up, we'll post it to the different social media sites. So it's another way to get your content out there and get more people coming back to your site and get more people on that list. So you'll notice here I still point back to the list. Social media is to get people to my site, to get people on my list. That's a little funnel process we go through. But here's another aspect of social media. So here's the third one. And that is, in any market, the person who understands the customer best eventually wins. Okay, so whoever understands the customer best eventually wins in the process. I put the eventually in there because sometimes people who are willing to come in and scam and make promises that they can't deliver, sometimes it looks like they win in the short term. But long term, it's whoever understands the customer best and gives the most value to the customer. What we can use social media for also is more than anything else for the research aspect. I like what my friend Glenn Livingston says about Twitter. He says basically what Twitter is, it's our opportunity to watch people walking down the street yelling out whatever comes to mind. So we can search Twitter, and we can search on whatever our subject is, our keyword phrases, on company names, on whatever we want to search, and we can see what everybody's screaming that's coming out of their mind all day long. Okay, exactly what they're thinking is coming out on Twitter. So we get to see what all our customers are thinking. So social media is becoming one of the best research tools you've ever had access to. And, okay, here's a quick tip most people don't do for social media. I use Google Reader, okay, which is another free Google tool. Just go to Google and look through all their tools, and it's called the Reader. And I subscribe to a lot of blogs through the Reader on the RSS feed. But I have a folder, several of them, in fact, but I have a folder that I have the Google Reader. You can set it up to grab whenever somebody on Twitter mentions a certain phrase. Like if somebody mentions my name on Twitter, I can have it pull that and throw it into my feed reader. So whenever I go and look inside my Google Reader, I can go in that folder and I can see everything people have said about me on Twitter.
And you can put in other phrases.
You can go in and you can look up other phrases, you know, other phrases that would revolve around your company, around other companies, like some of the competitors' product names. You can put those in and see what they're all saying about the competitors, also seeing what they like about them, what they don't like about them. And so it's an awesome research tool. Now, whenever I want, I have all these different phrases set up in my Google Reader in that folder. I open up that folder, and I can skim through what everybody has been saying about this, all these different subjects. And so that is awesome. Customer research, prospect research, find out exactly what's going on. And, I mean, if there's any big companies listening to this, that advice I just gave you could be worth $100,000 to you. Might save you on the $100,000 research consultant you had to hire. It's just go through, do it with every one of your product names, do it with all your competitors' product names, set up all these different folders, and have all the information delivered to you. It's not just Twitter. There's several other of the social media sites you can pull from also. Twitter's just one of the more obvious ones to do it with. And so you could produce all this customer research on your subject of exactly what people are screaming out of their head all the time. Okay? And so,
well, this is definitely something I'm going to integrate into my social media plan that I'm working on actually right now.
When you look at the Google Reader, it'll tell you how long ago that they said this, and if there's certain things coming up or being said, you can go back into your Twitter account, and if there's certain things you want to respond to, you can respond right back to the person on Twitter by doing a reply on Twitter. So, I mean, it's like such a tool to look at what's going on in your market, all these different subjects. And so those are the three points, is we can build relationships with the people in our industry, we can correspond back and forth with our own customers, and then we can use it as a research tool for the social media. So there's a lot of different tools for media. But I don't want people to just say, you know, I just want to do social media, I just want to do the free stuff. One of the cautions I've got to give people for social media is you've got to limit the amount of time you spend on social media, because if you just say, I'm going to participate in social media, I've seen people who leave open their Twitter all day long. And
oh, it can be a huge time waster.
Yes. That means they waste time on whatever else they're trying to do. They can't write. They can't do their other content
right. Because
they got open. So limit your time. Say that, you know, I'm only going to give myself an hour a day that I spend on all the social media sites. That's all I'm going to give myself to do here. And do your work, you know, do your research, reply back to people, participate in conversations, and be done for the day, and then do other forms of marketing. Because I find many cases everybody wants to do the free forms of marketing, but in a lot of cases the free forms of marketing are the most expensive, because your time is the asset you can't get back. Many times the free forms are the most expensive forms of advertising, because if you can produce a good business system where you build that list, you sell products to your list, then it's worth it to spend money on advertising to build your list. So don't just limit yourself to social media. Don't waste your entire life in social media. Remember, social media is just a tool to do the three steps that I told you for the social media, and then move on to the next process in your business.
Excellent. So speaking of our business and all the things that you've been discussing so far and the systems that you've been talking about, how should someone make money from their home site in the system?
Well, with the system, how do you make money? Well, as you see, the first prospect I do with our home site is we're going to try to get people on a list. Okay, but we still haven't made any money. Okay, so what do we do at this point? Well, for a lot of people, the first thing I tell them to do is to sign up for affiliate products in their market and promote those affiliate products. The reason being, is personally, my favorite business, my favorite way to make money is to sell information products. Books, CDs, DVDs, downloadable products, membership sites, newsletters. That's what I like to do best. Okay? That's my favorite. But it sometimes is a lot of work to produce this. So if I'm thinking about selling an information product on a specific subject, we'll say on dog training or something else, I'll sign up for some dog training affiliate products, some products that I can promote as an affiliate. And I will promote those first to my list and on my website to find out what people are buying. Which ones do they buy? Which ones are they interested in? And so we tried different ones. Interesting, I had a client that he was in a market and he tried 8 different affiliate products. We even like rotated affiliate products. We ran one of the rotation scripts on his site to rotate 8 different affiliate products. We found that one of those products was generating like 3-4 times as much money as all the others. So as you can imagine, that's the one he was selling. And eventually, when he wanted to create his own information product in the business, guess what kind of information product he developed? One that was much more similar to the concept of the one that sold like crazy to his list and to his website, which just makes sense. So it's another research method. So affiliate products, and I don't think you can find a market that there aren't affiliate products to sell. So that's the first way we make money. It's an affiliate product. And the big caution here is we don't promote a product just because it pays money out. We promote a product because, first of all, we know it's going to benefit the people on our list. We know that it has value, and that means the products that you promote, you should have either got a free copy of them to try them out, or you should have paid for them yourself and tried them out. Okay? So you don't promote something that you don't know and you don't like yourself. Then we make money from it because it is an affiliate product.
Got it. Now,
the next way that I make money is I like to sell information products. You can create all types of different information products. I find a lot of fun, real easy, really high margins, so that's the business I like best. Another method a lot of people would like to do is they like to sell advertising on their sites. It could be, well, some of them will often start off with something like Google AdSense on their site, or they're first building up their site, but you can also sell advertising directly, and if you want to sell advertising, you're much better off selling your own ad spaces than using something like Google AdSense, because you'll get paid much more for having your own spots. But you can sell advertising on your site because you're the one building the audience. And everybody wants to tap into your audience because they don't know how to generate the traffic to the site like we've been talking about here. So you can sell advertising. A fourth way that you can make money from your site is you can offer some type of services. And here's the funny thing. You'll notice that it takes time to build a business online. I always tell everybody starting out that we need to plan often quite a bit of time. When people like come to me for coaching now, I tell them they really have to, you know, I don't require them to make any long-term commitments as a coaching client. They can only sign up for a month if they want, but I do ask them to make a commitment to themselves, to give themselves at least a year, to see about building up the business and making it profitable, okay, because it takes time to build up all the traffic that you need. It takes time to build up advertising revenue. It takes time to build up products that you can sell. But one way that people can shortcut that and earn money quicker is by offering some type of service on their site. So let's say that you go through the process and you set up your own WordPress blog. You did it yourself. Well, one of your services could be to set those up for other people. Or you go through and you learn very well how to do video for your site. Well, you could do videos for other local businesses in your area to put on their websites. So use that, whatever tool that you're using in your own business, whatever you have to learn in your own business, you also provide that service to others, and you'll find that's actually a shortcut to getting paid quicker and making yourself a full-time business much faster. And, for example, if I were to sell an ebook on my website for $20, well, to make $2,000, $20, so $2,000, I'm going to need to sell at least 100 copies of those. But let's say that while writing that ebook, I learn how to put together ebooks or free reports for others. Well, I could hire myself out, and I might only need 1 or 2 clients of writing the ebook for someone else for the month to make that same little $2,000 that I wanted to make. Mm-hmm. So having services or some type of service that you offer to others based on the experience and what you're learning in your own business is a great way to earn money and get to that full-time level much faster than just going the product route. So that's another way to earn money and a way that I recommend people to start quickly for it.
So you've given us a wealth of information here on how to start and ways to succeed. What would you say are a couple of the biggest roadblocks to someone actually succeeding online?
Well, there's a few roadblocks. I've had parts in my courses before where I've told people, what to do when it's not working.
Sure, everyone's been there.
But the funny thing is you go to most people's products and they don't talk about anything like that. It's like, what do you mean what to do when it's not working? It always
right.
works.
Right, right.
I found that there's a lot of times that things don't work the way you want when you first try it.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the first ones, one of the big ones that people run into as a roadblock is a lack of confidence in themselves and their abilities and what they can do. Why this is important is because you'll notice the whole system that I talked about requires you to be providing some type of value. Because if I'm writing content, then I should believe in myself that I have some content that others would value. Or if I'm going to tell stories about my life, I have to have the confidence in me to believe that other people actually want to hear these stories. Once you first start sending emails out to your list, you haven't seen how nasty people can be until you start sending emails out to
your list. No, I've gotten tons of them.
So they can be very nasty to you. So if you don't have that confidence in yourself to overcome it and to get to the point where it doesn't stop you, I'd like to say that you don't care about the nasty emails, but you still care, but you just have to overcome it. You know that they're going to come, that people will get mad about. And the reason is because online, you don't know who they are. They don't have to look you in the face. They never have to see you again. So it's quite easy for them to send you a really nasty email. One of the funny things that's happened in my business is I've had it several times where week after week, as I sent emails to people on my list, they would send back all these nasty comments about things and how much they hated me and how much they disliked things. I went and I unsubscribed them from my list so they wouldn't get emails from me anymore. Obviously, they didn't like them. Well, a couple of weeks down the road, they email me asking why they're not getting emails from me anymore. I guess that was their enjoyment out of the week.
Email rage, I call it.
Was having email rage, and so they were missing it when I didn't email them anymore. So you'll have some of those people on your list. You've got to be able to get over that.
Yeah, I think it's their own therapy.
So you just got to get over that. And the same thing, like, for example, if you come to the point where you want to create, we'll say, an information product, or you want to interview an expert, your stupid head is going to jump in the way and say, why would they ever do an interview with you? Or what do you have to offer? Your stupid head's going to constantly get in your way. And that's
yep.
where the second point comes in. Besides the lack of confidence, it's going to be a lack of focus. Because online, it is just like, wow, difficult to focus at times. And I think partly that is who gets attracted to the entrepreneur internet lifestyle also. At least 90% of my clients have ADD. And I include myself in that group, that we're not able to keep our attention on the same thing for a long period of time without heavy, heavy work at focusing. Part of it's probably the environment of where the world moved to. TV has trained us that way. Commercials have trained us that way. But it's also part of the entrepreneur mindset that we have all the creative ideas, and you're here writing about this, and all these creative ideas about something else pop up. So we go through that issue even more. And so you have to have that focus, because, again, move back to where I said you need to have that plan to at least give yourself at least a year to do something. Well, you know what most people do? They start something. They're like, they'll start the system I talk about here. They'll go in 2 weeks, and they'll say, well, you know, it's not happening fast enough. I haven't made $1 million yet. So a month comes in, and they do something else. And so they keep jumping from here to there to this over there, jumping to all these different ideas, jumping to all these different business concepts, and they don't get anywhere because they're not able to focus and to stick here and just keep moving until the momentum gets moving. And what I want to talk about with momentum in a business is I like to liken it just like an old train. Okay, to get that train moving takes a lot of power. It takes a lot of power for that train to get moving because it has to get the momentum moving. But once it is moving, you had better get out of the way. You had better get off the tracks once it is moving because the momentum has started moving. It's the same thing with internet business. It is a ton of work to get it moving in the beginning, to get that momentum moving in the beginning. But once you get that business moving in the right direction, once you have it on the right track that's focused, then you'll actually find that at times it's hard to stop it because people will start passing out your site to others. People will start mentioning others. You'll have affiliates who are promoting you on their site. And so it gets much easier as time goes on and that momentum gets moving. So internet business is all about that momentum. And so you have to have that focus, and you have to keep at it, even when you want to quit. And that kind of brings in that confidence also. You have to keep at it, and you have to have that confidence in the system that you're following, and that it is going to work for you, even if it doesn't look like it today. So those are the big issues. It's not really our focus and our confidence. There could be a few more, but they really resolve back to those.
Yeah, and I think also, like you're saying, a lot of people get really impatient. They want everything right now because they've been sold the idea of the instant riches. Like what I was mentioning years ago when I met you, is all those snake oil salesmen out there promising the instant riches on the internet and not delivering any value. So people are conditioned to think that they're going to immediately make it. When they don't, they get very impatient, which, you know, like you said, creates that lack of focus.
The first week that you're online, you get your website up, you put a list up. Well, at the end of the week, you might have 2 subscribers on your list. So are you going to write your email for the 2 subscribers or not? The answer is you should write the email for the 2 subscribers. Is anybody going to respond? The likelihood is a percentage to say you're going to hear a deafening silence after you send that out when there's only 2 people on the list. But you have to do it anyway, and it's just going to keep growing. It's going to keep moving. And so a lot of people, they won't go through the small things. One of the description in the Bible that says, don't despise the day of small beginnings. Mm. And every business starts that way.
Mm-hmm. So I have one last question here for you, and then I think we're going to wrap it up. Do you have any resources to help someone get started and moving in the right direction with this system?
Well, I offer a lot of different products. But the first thing anybody listening to this should do is they should go over to mymarketingcoach.com, and make sure they subscribe to my list. Isn't that a surprise? And at my list, you'll then start getting those emails, and in those emails, I share resources, I share tools, I share stories, and you'll see exactly how I do my writing process, how I do my emails. You'll see the different resources that I share, and there's a whole lot more that I can share than what's here. On my website, I think at this point in time when we're doing the interview, there's over 400 articles about internet business on the website already that are just free articles that you can access and go to. And then the second tool that I would tell people to look at is after they take a look at, get on the free list, is they should check out the Monthly Mentor Club newsletter, which is at monthlymentorclub.com. And that is a monthly print newsletter along with online tools and online resources that I put out each month that's based off of the information that I share with clients and the results that I see coming back from clients and exactly what's working now in online marketing, working best for the business. And so that's the second tool to look at to make sure that you're always getting the most recent, most updated information of what's working and what's not, which has always been my focus. We hear all this hype, we hear all this information out there, let's put it to the test, let's see what works and what doesn't in real practice and real action.
Which, by the way, I love, and I noticed in your last newsletter mentioning that you produce content for your newsletter based off of client demand and what people are really having problems with, and I absolutely love the last one on video and on social media because that is what's most relevant right now. So I love getting your monthly newsletter every month. I cherish it every time I get to read it.
It's real low cost, and again, you can unsubscribe from it anytime. That's one of the things you'll notice from all my businesses is I'm never about charging somebody a big upfront fee to join this and try it out. I'm always about let's grow step by step, time by time, each of your processes in your business because that's what I do in my business. That's what you should be doing in your business is it step by step, put each step in front of the other, and that's what you'll see in the product. So the websites are mymarketingcoach.com and monthlymentorclub.com.
Oh, and you also give away such quality information for free on that site through your newsletter that is such great quality information. In fact, you're one of the few newsletters that I subscribe to, and last year, I think you remember, I got rid of I unsubscribed to a lot of newsletters and only stayed with the quality ones, and yours is definitely on that list because it's the best out there. So I think a lot of people will definitely be enjoying all the quality information that you provide on the sites. Well, I appreciate you so much sharing your wisdom and insights today with us, Terry, and I hope this information will help the thousands of people out there move in the direction of their dreams so they too can earn more, work less, and enjoy more freedom in their lives through the power of the internet.